Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
This is Deanna Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country, really throughout the world, to come join us, come and learn with us. God is so gracious that he allows us to have really incredible guests on the show, and it's just a blessing to meet personally, to hear the likes of Judge Roy Moore from Alabama, Don Wildman from California, Luca Bocci from Italy, and just, on and on, John Bernard from Maine. It's just incredible. And what unites us all is really the awe and fear of Almighty loving God. And as always, we like to start the show with giving it to him in prayer, asking that he be over our conversation. So with that in mind, Don, would you mind starting us off in prayer?
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you again hoping that you'll bless this show, bless this gathering of God's children to try to educate the rest of your children on what's happening today and what we can find happening in the future. We ask you to continue to watch over our military, our men and women, sons and daughters, both here at home and abroad. Please keep them safe. We know that they are forever in harm's way, fighting for our liberty as well as others. Heavenly Father, as we go into Thanksgiving, we really do want to take the time to say thank you to the Almighty for all the blessings that we truly have, all the miracles we see each and every day, and to ask for that hedge of protection to be around the United States right now as she goes into this ultimate fight for liberty and freedom. We ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Don. And Robin, I want to introduce you to a dear, dear friend of ours, Don Wildman from California. She is the co-coordinator of the California Tea Party. She's the president of Southern Cal Tax Revolt Coalition, and she is just a dear friend, one that loves the Lord. And Don, I want to introduce to you Robin. Robin, it's hard for me to pronounce your last name, but I'll try.
I think you're
there we go. I tried. Don, you're going to love Robin. She is like a sister. Once you meet this lady, you feel like you are part of her family. But she is the one that you almost met when we were hoping you could go with us to Washington this past year in June.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, yeah, this is Robin. And, Robin, would you mind telling her how we met and the listeners? Because, really, it was a God appointment, if you don't mind sharing that.
Amen, amen. I bless you, my sister Dawn. It is a pleasure for me to meet you. And all I can say is that God has an appointment in his calendar of time, and he puts people together because we were destined to meet. And these beautiful sisters from Alabama, that's how I recall them, they went to Jamestown Settlement, and that's where we met. We had gathered as a group of intercessors, and we had decided that we needed to go to the ancient wells, and we needed to have communion there, and we needed to stir those prayers of our forefathers and pray specifically that our nation would go back to those promises that God had made these people. And in doing so, we had delayed in the streets that we were supposed to come, so we were a little bit late getting to the place in our appointed schedule. And I guess because we were delayed, that is a specific time that we met these ladies, and they were taking pictures, and it was four of us, four of them, and it was like love at first sight. And I don't know, I feel that they're like people that I've known all my life. I was honored that they came to my home. We had dinner that night. We fellowshipped. Ms. Barbara brought her guitar. And it was just such an amazing moment of connection between women. And I think that more women need to connect at this level. We need to know that there are other women searching and seeking God. And when we connect, things start to happen.
So
that's our story.
I totally agree.
Amen. It was really, I know it had to be a God-inspired moment because, you know, here we are all the way from Alabama, and the delay that she was talking to, we were delayed too because Miss Barbara, there were four of us ladies that was there, my sister-in-law, Miss Linda, and Miss Barbara, we were on our way out. But earlier, I had taken a picture of Robin, and then they had asked me to take a picture, and I did, but, you know, it didn't go any further. But I really wanted to talk more, but, you know, just felt awkward. But anyway, I went on my way, and they went on their way. But as I was fixing to leave, Dawn, I saw a dove on that church right there in Jamestown. It was on the windowsill staring at us. And I thought, is that for real? Because it was not moving, and it had been there for like 10 minutes, you know, not twitching, not moving. And so I started to go closer, and then I saw Patty, one of the ladies, Robin's friend Patty, that was there. And Ms. Barbara had given us an assignment, which was to give a tract to somebody that day. She gave us a homework. And I thought, oh, there's that nice Patty. She won't mind me giving a tract. You know how you sometimes you just hate to give people things that you think, oh, they're just going to chew you out. Well, I was timid. But anyway, God wanted me to give it to Patty. And when I mentioned to Patty what we were trying to do, or Miss Barbara did, she got so excited, and she got Robin and the rest of them. And right there in front of that church, Robin, we had communion in front of that Jamestown church.
Yes, we did.
And one with the, hey, Don, because, you know, the Thomas Paine speech that we hear about, there was a plaque, and his father was looking at it, and she said, you know, I think this is where Thomas Paine got, I'm sorry, Thomas Paine, Patrick Henry, got part of his speech from. So, anyway, it was all, everything had a meaning, and it's really one of the most incredible times I have ever had. And so, that's something to look forward to, Dawn, is to meet Robin and her friends.
Amen.
Absolutely. Well, I've heard so much about you that I'm excited to do so. I think it's wonderful when God works in such wonderful ways like that, when when you think your whole day is sort of falling apart and things are going wrong, and yet it's
yes.
exactly where you're supposed to be. I just love that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was a long night because after we had dinner, we decided that since we had the keys to the church, that we should go to the church. And then we had our little service there. We lay hands and pray for these ladies, and they lay hands and pray for us. And we open up the maps, and we just started declaring wonderful and great things. And one of the things that we did pray at that time was that I go to Israel, and I just came back from Israel this past week. So God is faithful, and he does answer prayers.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited when Diana said you were coming on and you just returned from Israel. I thought, boy, if this isn't one of those moments that is so exciting, I can't wait to hear about what you saw, what you heard, what you bring back to us from the
Amen.
Holy Land.
Amen.
Well, Robin, you know, we what's going here in the United States, the things that I think the majority of us thought we were going to get in this election isn't what's happened. But when you really think about it as a Christian, it's like, haven't we been warned by God again and again that this is going to be what is going to happen? You know, so we want something better, but God wants us to draw to something else. And it's almost like he really wants us to be drawn to our knees and to really look at what is important in this life when everything else is taken away from us. What is important in this life? And so you coming back from Israel, tell us what you think God allowed you to see so that you could share with us, Robin.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I had left 2 days before election. So while we were still in the tour, a lot of Israelis were trying to convey to us Americans, we're concerned about your election, you know, how it's going to affect the relationship between Israel and America. And the only thing that I could share when I was there personally, I told this young fella, it was, I don't know who the president going to be, but I can tell you one thing. We as Americans, we love Israel. So I can only tell you that we the people, our hearts is here with you. And we the people have a power of prayer. And we're going to use this tool in your behalf. Because I know that if we need it, you will be there for us too. To have that little conversation with young people. The military in Israel are like ages 18 to 23. They're like my grandchildren. And to have seen those young, beautiful faces and to see them with M16s and with all kinds of military gear, and you're like, God, they're so young, so precious. But they're so determined. They're so full of passion and pride to defend the land that is theirs. But they were concerned, and they would take pictures with us, and it was just a beautiful experience to have that interaction. But they are concerned. Israel is definitely concerned because it's not been very good image that American president has bestowed over them. We had the privilege that the hotel that we were staying in Jerusalem was like 2 blocks away from the prime minister's house. So when he had to get out, all the Secret Service would come and you could see that parade of vehicles. And I'm like, well, then you feel safe to be 2 blocks away from the prime minister. We had all that extra security, so it felt really good. But by the same token, you could see the happiness in the children because children are children everywhere in the world. The youth, precious, happy. But you could see the eyes of the older adults. The cost of living in Israel is very high. People have to work 2 and 3 jobs. There's very much division in between the Orthodox Jews and like conservative Jews. And so they have their own little civil issues between themselves. And it is hard to have that division when they need each other. And in the midst of that, they have the Arabs in the midst of them who do not like them. And imagine our dismay when we're hearing chanting and we're ignorant of the Arab language. So we're thinking, wow, that kind of sounds, you know, interesting, that little sound. And they're like, yeah, but the word says, take them to the edges of the Mediterranean and let them drown. Push them out, their women, their children. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And you're listening to this five times a day. How does that affect? And when I started to think about that, one of the words that I brought with me from Israel is awareness. I have an awareness of the price that they are paying as a people. And one of the things that one gentleman shared with us Americans was, Americans are highly opinionated, and you don't realize that we're the ones who are living here. So put on our shoes and stay here for a week and feel what we feel. And I'm like, he was so right. Again, it's a different awareness. We live in fullness of safety. We don't have to hear missiles. We don't hide to hide in bunkers. And to realize that this is a lifestyle and it's a choice. So I have a different perspective from my Jewish people. I am proud to be a Jewish American. I am in awe of the sacrifice that they are doing. And one more awareness that I have was for the women. They're so strong. They try to keep a face for their children, to keep strong for their husbands. They're strong in temple with prayers. You see the devotion in them. I guess all women in all the world, there's something amazing. God must have had a field day when he was creating women in the world, because he made them with something special, a very strong love for him. So that was my impression of the first days.
Wow. Robin, you have something you said there. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Dawn.
I was just going to say I'm completely thrilled to hear that, you know, from a layperson going to Israel, you can tell from the sound even in your voice that was an overwhelming visit. I always picture going to Israel as being one of those moments where kind of an out-of-body experience.
Yes.
And just being able to be there. But I also, every time I see the TV and we're talking about, you know, bombs being sent from Gaza, I think, you know, this is just, can you even imagine living in the United States? Can you imagine having to deal with this literally every day of your life? I have a girlfriend, and I totally agree about women. Women are, you know, we are the mothers of the world. We are the mothers. We are the nurturers. We are the caregivers. We are the peacemakers.
Amen.
And, you know, my girlfriend said that it was on one of the anniversaries, you know, of 9/11 or something. She says, you know, my son, who's 10, has never lived in the United States when we haven't been at war. I said, wow, I had never thought about that. But imagine if you lived in Israel. How many generations have never lived in their country without fear of this kind of stuff, bombs or you know, people detonating themselves or murders happening at the market or whatever. And she said that made her think a lot more, that we really do take it for granted that, you know, our safety in this country, as tenuous as it may be, it's not Israel. And I think there's such a shakeup going on now, as you noted, you know, even between those that are of Orthodox faith and maybe those that are more, you know, secular Jews. You know, it is just extraordinary what's happening there. But I have never, personally, I think the fact that Netanyahu is in charge over there makes me feel better as an American, because he is such a strong person. Do the Israelis feel the same way still about Netanyahu, that he is, you know, thank goodness it's him that's in charge?
Yes, they do feel that he has, his heart is in the right place. they do have concerns about, you know, the divisions, because they've allowed certain things in the political realm that, unlike America, that we have separation between our religious and our state, Israel is a religious democracy. So the Orthodox dictate some of these laws and some of these things that need to be put into place, but by the same token, they're a little harsh with the Jews that are not Orthodox. And this is why I think there's such a big group of secular people, because they don't know where they fit.
You know, so it's that, funny that you say that, Robin. We were just sort of talking about that yesterday, that I think a lot of Christians are going through that right now, you know, that they don't know sort of where they fit in the equation because they're lost within their own faith.
Yes. Yes, yes. And I think this is the awareness that happens to us, too, because, like, I'm mixed race. My father was Spanish. My mother's an American Jew. My grandparents and my mother's side were both Austrian, so they're Eskenazi Jews. But then from my father's side, they're Sephardi Jews. But they didn't practice because, you know, that people who came from Spain, you know, if you wanted to live, you had to surrender to Christianity. So you have a blend of both worlds, and just like you have a mother and a father and they're both your parents, I have a blend, but it's not accepted. This is not the norm to celebrate Hanukkah and to celebrate, you know, the holidays as Christmas, because it's not the kosher. But this is a reality for a lot of people who intermarried.
Right.
And what happens to people like us is that they try to make us fit in a mold that you just don't fit, because you're you, but you are part of both sides of your family. They are your family. That's what's inside of you. And you can't make a choice. If I have to make a choice, you know, between Israel and America, I just can't. I love them both. I have much respect for both nations. But if I have to make a correction, I have no problem in saying, America, you need to support Israel, and Israel, you need to be not so stubborn and help us help you.
You know, that's interesting that, you know, you raise that. That's an interesting point that I think people don't really recognize, is that we have so many people that I think it was, you know, in generations before, you know, different faiths went out of their way to have their children marry within the faith. You know, you know, even Catholics were big about making sure that you married another Catholic. And so, you know, having that happen, and I have several friends that are same way. You know, I actually have a friend who is, she's Jewish and her husband's Buddhist. So that makes for an interesting holiday season for the both of them. But, it really is an extraordinary thing to have to, if you're put in a position where you have to decide, and I can't even imagine being in a country now as the U.S. and having to choose. I mean, it used to be, it was a given. If you were an American, Israel's your ally, period. I mean, there aren't too many people we can say, or countries we can truly say that about, that from, you know, from the beginning to now has always been an ally. We are there to protect her and help her. And so it is a strange time in which we live, especially with an administration and a president in the United States who does not appear to support Israel, especially personally. You know, that's the message he gives off, is that, well, we've got your back because, you know, historically we have. And I think he leaves open the idea that, you know, he's not in favor of that. Which, you know, how does that play out in Israel? How does Israel feel about, how did the citizens there feel about our president and seemingly the lack of support that we are given to Israel? 4 years, the man still hasn't stepped foot in Israel.
That's correct. And they do have a concern. And like I was telling you before, we were there before elections, and even the young people, They're very into politics in Israel. So they have an awareness of knowing that they need the support of their allies. But on the other token, you have to see a reality that there is a strong American Jewish community that supports financially. So this is what helps. But then again, Israel depends on tourism. So something like these attacks with these missiles is affecting their main economy. Because there was an extension to the trip that we had to go to Eilat, and they had to make a quick detour because Tel Aviv was bombarded. So those are issues that it's hard to pinpoint we as Americans because it's an experience and then you go home. But they stay there and they have to live with these consequences. But they're strong-willed people and they will rebuild because that is their motto. They will clean up the mess and start again because that is what they do.
I know. It's just, you know, I think it's really horrific and I don't think you can say that enough to people that, you know, here is a nation that has been, you know, a target of war for the whole time since it's been a nation. Since it's been on the planet, it has been at war with various factions who would like to see Israel and all its citizenry gone, dead, demolished. and I'm not sure people in the United States really truly have the I'm not sure they understand it, because I have to tell you, we were discussing this yesterday on the radio show, that seeing that 40% of Catholics still voted for Obama, you know, or, you know, any percentage of Jews that vote for Obama, you know, that's startling to me, because, you know, I kept saying, and we kept saying throughout California to friends and family and neighbors that are of Jewish faith, that if you vote for Obama, you're voting for the annihilation of Israel. I mean, that's, everybody feels that, you know?
So. Well, Don, I think part of the problem is really robbing, you know, the scripture that says, you know, he seeks true worshipers. Jesus says, you know, seeks true worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. God seeks true worshipers. And I think for far too long, we in the body of Christ have forgotten about the truth. Heart. We have been all about the spirit, but we have not really comprehended what is God really meaning. And I was using yesterday Judge Roy Moore as an example. Here's our Alabama's Chief Justice of the Supreme Court that was removed from his place in office. The people voted for him overwhelmingly because he stood for the acknowledgement of God. And, you know, there were so many of the justices that really sided with a federal judge that said, yeah, he needs to be removed from office. He can't acknowledge God. And I'm thinking too many of us Christians are not really keying in on how important it is to be careful about what you let in your ears and fight. You know, we're not thinking about the messages that's being given to us on television, on radio, to the point that, you know, when you and I talk about what's going on in Israel, what you see on the other side, if you're not careful, is they're going to put forth pictures of the Palestinian children, and woe is the Palestinians that Israel would hurt their children. And it's because I think for far too long, the church has not really spread the truth in all areas. You know, we need to really know the truth. What is going on in Israel? What is going on in Palestine? And I think the church has to speak because, as in Judge Moore's case, he now won this year. He is now back in that position of Chief Justice. But you know what happened in Alabama? If the pastors had to listen, they had to learn the truth. And I think that's something that Dawn, that needs to be replicated throughout the nation.
Amen.
you know, we see all this stuff. So we saw in our election, if there was one thing that was abundantly clear, and people have told me this for years, that most people, John Q. Public, get their information about politics, candidates, issues, actually just a few minutes a day right before an election. So these aren't people who are studying what's going on or the issues or, you know, who candidates truly are and investigating. These are people who are basically flicking on the news, any channel, and deciding based on commercials, radio, whatever. That's how they're going to vote. The same thing happens with issues like what's happening in Israel. And so when you see these guys talking about very pro-Hamas, like our president and his administration, that they won't even call this a terrorist organization. When you see all the things that are happening, you know, the fear is that we keep perpetuating this idea that it's Israel that's the warmonger, which couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, they'd be happy to just be left alone and live out their lives and not have, you know, obviously keep raising generations that have to learn where a bomb shelter is. So
exactly.
That's the thing that frightens me, because if you are a Jew in the United States and you're not particularly involved in your faith, or you're sort of one of those fair-weather people of faith, every religion has it. You know, you go to on Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever, but you're not, you know, you don't really follow the tenets of your faith. Well, sort of like the vice president, who's a Catholic who understands his faith has tenets, but he doesn't exactly follow them. So, and he admits that. That's the interesting thing. So if you're one of those people and you see all this stuff, as you said, Diana, when they start showing pictures of children in Gaza, you know, or in Palestine that are being bombed, well, follow it up with the reality that these people are living on top of missiles. They're being held hostages by the very people who are launching the attack. That's what always just angers me, is that they never follow things up with the reason this is happening, hello, you know. So I think that's our job. I think that is the pastor's job, too. I think anybody in leadership, Robin, Diana, Miss Barbara, Mr. Wayne, myself, anybody who, you know, has kind of goes out there and tries to shine a light on stuff, I think it is very much part of what we need to make sure people understand what's truly happening. Because I tell you, Robin, I am so excited to hear about this, but I just can't even imagine what it must have felt like to be there. Did you feel safe there?
I did feel safe because, as a matter of fact, I tell you one little thing. We had been in a women's conference 2 weeks prior to leaving, and they were giving out ribbons with messages. And my little ribbon that you just randomly take one, it says, "Daughter, I will keep you in safety." And I took my little ribbon with me to Israel. And when I came back, it fell off my, because I was journaling too, Miss Diana. Aww. So I want you to know that I got good notes. And I was like, "God, you're so awesome to remind us of your word, that there's a word for every circumstance that you live in your life. There's this magic word, and it just pours over you." And I had to call my husband because I had left him behind because he's ill, and I had a caretaker here with him. So I made sure I called him, and I says, "They're attacking in the south, in Gaza, and we're in the north. And we're having an amazing time. It is gorgeous up here, and the weather is amazing." So once I reassured him, I did not feel fear, because I went with my youngest sister, and I had that conversation with her. "If we to perish here, it will be awesome to be buried here. But I know that we need to get back home, because there's an assignment now. We have come back with an awareness. And awareness is also an assignment. And what will you do with this is that you have a stronger voice. Because before I could say it, because it's my legacy, that is my inheritance, I'm a Jew by birth, but now it's because it's in my heart. Now I have a love affair with a people. Now I have faces for spaces that I only had thoughts. Now it's become so real that in one of my little notes I wrote this, I says, to journal is not only to write. It is a journey that will continue to grow the more you share it, and a legacy to those who will listen. And this is my assignment. I need to find people that will want to listen, that will want to see my pictures, and they will see the faces of those people that we took pictures of, and they will join and pray with us. And all we're going to do is get that strong cord bigger and bigger, because that's all it takes is one person to start and other people to follow. And that's what Israel is all about. It's passion. They have a voice, they have a vision, and people follow. Because it's like it's a magnetic thing. You're so attracted to the historical sites. You're attracted to these monuments that spoke of history, and all of a sudden your Bible becomes so clear to you, and you're like, God, I read about this, but now I am standing here. I am breathing the air here. I am possessing, and I am wanting more to the point that I want to go back. I want to have my grandchildren come. I want them to have an awareness that we have to believe in something so pure in our hearts. And we need to defend it. We need to talk about it. We need to brag about it. We don't have to be ugly about it. We don't have to fight about it. Because like I tell everybody, I don't need to make my point strongly. You can't take it away. It's inside of me. And that is my position.
Thank you, Robin. You know, you really paint a picture for us, as John was talking about it. And I remember... Also, I love the 700 Club, and I watched an interview with a beautiful Jewish woman that was there, and her and her children were hit, and she had like three shrapnels, two they were able to take out successfully, one not, very dangerous part of her brain, but, you know, she was just saying, you know, even if I could leave, I don't want to leave. Because I love this place. This is my home. I love the people. But she said, you know, but even if you did want to leave, she said, you know, who would want to buy a house in Daraa? She said, you know, they are getting hit every time you turn around. And, you know, but you could tell that she was happy with where she was at. She said it was very difficult for her son. You know, he was so afraid. He does not like to sleep alone. He's so afraid of sleeping alone. And so, you know, you have those children that are really, they've got post-traumatic stress, you know, and they're having to deal with that. But to see the picture like you're saying, Robin, here's a person that, you know, I thank God that I got to see that. But, you know, you don't see that on TV. You will not see that, I don't think. I've never seen it, Dawn, on NBC or ABC or CBS. But this is the heart of the matter. Is these people have been suffering for a long time, and they only want to give up less so they can have peace. But the enemy uses it instead to get the bombs closer to them. So, you know, it just... We need that spirit of truth, Robin. I really do feel like that's what God has called us to do. And another thing that one of our guests, John Bernard, who lost his son in Afghanistan, killed in action in 2009, talked about Virginia. And, you know, he was in the Marine Corps. He was in the Marine Corps. And he was talking about that it really hurt him when he found out that, I think, Don, more than 50% of the military there in Virginia, voted for Barack Obama. And but it was, again, as he was telling us, you know, a lot of these officers, you know, they go to schools, to colleges that have really, they're run by liberal professors. So the children are being trained and indoctrinated. And Robin, that's one of your main concerns. I know when we talked about you know, the start of the school year, you were very concerned about the children and what they're going to go through. And this is one of the things that I'm hoping will unite all of us across the country is, you know, the children whose minds, you know, we've tried to raise them in the church, but then, you know, when they get into education, public schools, you know, halls of education, it's like we, the parents, the Christian parents and grandparents, are fighting against what's being taught. And we have so much that we really need to have that spirit of truth. And I'm praying the pastors will hear us and our concerns and will say, you know, I'm going to let the truth flow for a change. Wouldn't that make a difference?
Amen. Again, we need to have a voice. And we women can influence so many people. We have a gift inside of us. We build strong towers inside our hearts. And when we start speaking with this strength, people will hear us. And if we can influence one person a day is going to make a dent. But definitely, we as women have to get united in this. It is our children. It is our inheritance. And we do not have to accept people telling our children lies, compromise. When I was a child, we were disciplined. We gave grace when we had our lunches. How difficult was it to have 30 students in one classroom to behave? There was discipline. Teachers were second mamas in the classroom, and when they spoke, we listened. When they came in the classroom, we stood up. How hard is it that we can't have that nowadays? There's something wrong with this openness that we want people to have individuality, but we've lost this respect. And the Bible is very clear that we need to honor. And part of honoring is having respect. Because the core of the families had been broken to pieces, Satan has this wonderful battlefield. You know, if families are not the strong foundations, he can play with everybody else in the midst. So we need to get the strong women, grandmothers, young mothers, to get on gear and get on board and have this thought. It is our assignment to build the next generation. It is our legacy. And we need to take this very seriously because how many juicy years do we have left? Maybe 20? We need to leave some strong foundations so they can have something strong to stand on. And that is like my big thing right now. It's not only that I had this journey in my life that I really wanted to do, it just made me more aware that as you age, you feel more entitled to have a say. But it's not to have any say. It's to have the right kind of say. And this is why the Bible becomes so powerful, because it is of many sayings. It is written. So we need to bring back "it is written" to the point where churches are speaking it, schools are speaking it, and we have no fear. I don't know who started that fear and who started that compromise, but we need to work upon that. And I think that we need to start stirring the camps with the women. We need to start doing like a little campaign, state by state, city by city, and get all the women on gear. We need to look that what we're seeding into is our children and our grandchildren. And once we take it that personal, we're going to make a dent in our cities and our communities. Because there will
be
much...
Well, I like it, Robin.
We will make something happen, but we cannot be silent anymore. And I think this is what's happening. We've compromised. We've compromised to the point where even in our jobs, well, we have to deal with this little situation as if, why? You can't even ask questions.
Wow, talking about questions, and I'm going to go ahead and ask this because this is going to be our last show before we're going to be playing reruns, wonderful reruns the rest of this week as we take time with our families. A lot of them are really
Amen.
Testimonies. One of them is about a gentleman that really was in the military. He lost his son in a March 2007 tornado, but I love his testimony of how he won his wife back after really being an absent parent, absent husband, and it's just about the grace of God. I mean, it's a military guy, so if you know military people that's having problems, this would be a good one to listen to. But, Don, talking about questions, you know, the question on Benghazi, I think, is something that the American people must insist to be answered because, you know, when we see what's going on where the truth is not important anymore to the President of the United States and to his administration, you know, people die.
I am so outraged by this. And you know, I've been outraged since it happened. My outrage has not died down. Actually, it's just getting worse. When I hear today that you have people like Senator Clyburn in South Carolina saying that any criticism of Susan Rice, the ambassador, U.S. ambassador to the U.N., is based on racism, it just makes me want to scream. I don't think, frankly, I think actually electing a black president has done more to divide this country, and I don't mean between white and black, I mean from our representatives to the rest of us, because that's where the institutional racism seems to be. It would never have occurred to anybody who has been criticizing Susan Rice for the lying about Benghazi, because she was black or because she was a woman. Frankly, if those are the two biggest issues she has going for her, then she shouldn't be in that position to begin with. But all this stuff is to take off the attention, to take the attention away from the fact that we saw our, and literally the administration saw our ambassador, Stevens, and Sean Smith, Glenn Doherty, and Tyrone Woods murdered on 9/11 of this year in Libya. And we know that for a fact that the government was up to no good. This wasn't a U.S. consulate. It wasn't part of the embassy. You know, we're hearing all kinds of information coming out from all over the place about what might have been happening in Benghazi. You know, you have General Petraeus, who seemingly, you know, was supposed to be this good guy who's turning out to be anything but. You know, all of the stories that are surrounding Petraeus and this affair and all that, that's all meant to distract. Although I got to tell you, what I don't understand is we all know if these were Republicans doing this, they'd be hanging from, you know, the town square. But because they're all Democrats, it's okay, and it's, you know, the whole thing stinks. And getting back to Benghazi, because they're so busy trying to run us away from the subject, you know, I cannot believe that we were sitting at the time that we are still asking questions about what was really happening and why we did nothing to save four Americans. I mean, that's all this comes down to. Why did you watch four Americans being murdered? You knew that was happening. You didn't allow help to come. And now everybody that surrounded the issue is being, you know, eviscerated because of it.
I'm sorry, Don. It sounds to me like they made up their talking point and they were going to stick with it. Never mind that 30 people at the embassy needed to be saved, you know, so be it. You know, if they go down along with the other four, that was fine. They had already made up their mind with their talking points of what they were going to portray to the American public. That's what it really sounds like. And all this garbage that they're trying to weave into our brains as if we're insane. You know, Petraeus said it was one thing, and that was clear. And now here's backing up. Oh, I said it right the first time. The American people are not insane. But they want us to be insane. But anyway, I think, again, it breaks down to, are we really going to seek the truth? And if we do, I think that's what's going to set this nation free. But it's going to take the American people calling
I know we've contacted our own Martha Roby, who is in the Armed Services Committee. We're still contacting some app listeners. Call your Congress, 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. It's a small thing to ask our House of Representatives to really have the right inquiry. An inquiry for impeachment is what Ms. Barbara Moore says we need to be saying, so that they will find out everything that needs to be found out. But I'm just praying, Dawn, that that there will be an outcry, not just from us, but from the rest of the American people, to the point that when representatives or senators make such kind of racial statements, that there's supposed to be racism in that, we will remember the price that was paid by those men. It was, you know, their following duty cost them their own lives and their families, and that's a high price to pay. So I would urge everybody to call. Go ahead, Dawn.
And it really brings up, you know, I talk about my nephew a lot. He's in the Army. He's a young man. He's 21 years old. And he's going to be deploying to Afghanistan after the first of the year. And I was already afraid when he said he was going to join the Army. I mean, we kept saying, if you really want to join the military, how about the Coast Guard or something that seemed just a little bit safer? And he said no, he really wanted to join the Army. And, you know, I've never been more afraid for him than now. Because I look at this as, if we couldn't keep our ambassador safe and three SEALs safe, then what the heck do we expect these people are going to do for our men and women who are being stationed in theaters of war? And we've changed the rules of engagement. We have neutered our military. We don't give them the equipment they need. The whole thing is just, and the fact that somebody comes out and has the audacity to say that this is, you know, criticism is based on race, I'm just completely appalled. You know, I'm sorry if this person was raised in the South and saw racism, but frankly, if you are still on that bandwagon, then you have learned nothing. That nothing that Martin Luther King said made any difference to anybody. The civil rights movement meant nothing. Nothing has changed, and, you know, the country is just garbage. You know, that's evidently what this guy believes. So, I mean, if you happen to be also a constituent for this guy, I would call him up and just say, really, what are you talking about? Because it is so offensive that any time we question the administration about anything, we are race baited. And I'm sorry, it's just not working anymore.
What state was that?
It was Clyburn from South Carolina. He actually said that the words that were used by the Republicans about their questioning of Susan Rice and whether or not she should be the next Secretary of State, that those were code words for racism. Really? Are you kidding me? It's 2012, almost 2013. You know,
Yeah, he needs to get over it. You know, what's important is our young men and women who are putting their lives on the line to defend us and their families. And many of them this Thanksgiving will not be home with their families. They expect us to do our part, you know, as citizens of America, to uphold the Constitution that they swore their oath to protect, you know, us and this nation. And so that is hogwash coming from him. We're not racist, but those questions must be answered. We demand it. You know, it's so upside down. It is we the people. If we don't demand the truth from our government, then we might as well live in a communist country, you know. The people can't demand the truth from their government. So we still live in America, the land of the free and home of the brave, and we want to do our part. But I love the fact that we know, and the whole world, if they would study the history of America, would know that the reason America is where she's at, who she is really because of Jehovah God, Almighty God, who because of his great love for us,
sent his son, the King of Heaven and everything, to come down and be a man, you know, born as a babe and grow up to be a man and to serve us. You know, he said, if you want to be the greatest, you have to serve. And he did not mind washing the feet of his disciples. Who's a king that would do that in this world? I don't know of any.
I think it's important, too. Somebody sent me scripture this morning that was just so, another one of those moments where you realize God's at work, because, you know, obviously I didn't know we were going to be talking about this on the show today. Sent me Psalms 122:6, which is, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. So I just sort of giggled and thought, whoop, there's God again.
Yeah, because he didn't know.
Exactly. So I think people need to understand that and understand that about Israel and understand about our position in the world and understand that we, as you said, we the people need to question our government. That is the right we have. That is our job as the employer of these people, and we have to make sure that this never happens again.
And, too, out of love, right, Don, because all these things we must do out of love for God and our country and the people that lives in it, because if we don't, what is it that Thomas Jefferson said, that a nation that is ignorant and free never was and never will be. So we cannot be ignorant as to what really happened in Benghazi. We must know the truth or we will not remain free. And but in closing, just want to ask the listeners, you know, this Thanksgiving, you probably have relatives, you know, one or two that doesn't know the Lord. Make this be a conversation where, you know, you can take some time out alone with them to the side or wherever you walk and talk to them about the Savior that you know. Because Robin was Thanksgiving, you know. So with that in mind, Robin, would you mind praying in closing?
Yes, ma'am. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We just give you praises and glory, Father, because it is a privilege to be your child in such a time as this. Father, I feel that we women are like Esther's, Father, and that we have this empowerment right now. We have a voice, and we can make other women, other men, and family, Father, fast and seek your face, Father. And you can turn around circumstances in this world just because we surrender to you, understanding that it is you who has the solution for all circumstances. It is not man who's empowered. It is you who sits in the great throne. Father, so I just thank you that we have a voice and that we will use our voice, Lord. And we will speak to anyone who wants to hear us, that you are a God that loves, you're a God of covenant, and what you spoke will come to pass. You said a nation will be birthed in one day, and so it was. And we stood in, and we say to all people, if Israel exists as a nation, if America was founded by our to word, we will not surrender those values. We will continue to stand in those values. We have a strong foundation. Our forefathers declare glory to God, and we and our children, they will be another voice, and they will say, we belong to God. We will be righteous people. We will keep the banner of the word because we believe that he is the only magnificent and omnipotent God. And I say to all people, Father, who have an ear to hear, that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the safety of his borders, Father, because just as it is for Israel that there's hate for it, there is hate for America too. And if America thinks that there's no people hating on her and that she is safe, there's enemies that are living inside her quarters. And when they get stirred up, they will do just as much evil. So I just ask you for mercy, Heavenly Father. Let us speak with boldness, Father, and let us know where your enemy camps are, Father, so we can pray confusion over them and that our children and our families can live in the safety that you have promised, because your kingdom comes, and as it is in heaven, it should be on earth. Father, we have an inheritance, and we don't want to live in fear. We don't want to live in devastation or in bunkers, Lord. We want to live the promises that you have given us, and we want to enjoy the democracy that you've allowed us to live. So I ask you for mercy, Father. Mercy for those hard-headed and stubborn people, Lord. Given an encounter with you, Lord. Send angels to stir, Father. And above all things, you bless it in a hill for being a strong voice, for being a voice of righteousness, for speaking truth. I bless my sister Dawn for having a voice, oh God. You bless her in and her out, Father. You let her be a strong voice, Father, to correct. Let her be like Nathan, Father, that when she goes to a place, she can speak that word with boldness, Father, and correct. We don't want to destroy people, Father, because you came to save, and we want to do the same thing that you did, Father. We want to love, and we want to be in agreement with you, Father, because all living things were created by you. So I bless my sisters in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Robin. God bless you. Thank you, Dawn. Oh, everyone, have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Dawn and Robin and the listeners. May God bless you. May God
find you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, sweetie. Bye-bye.